Right, yeah. So, welcome everybody. I'm Paul, and that's Gemma. And, this is my lovely wife, Gemma, that's what I should say. So, as Mark was saying, today is a time to be able to sort of socialise together, to have some food together, a nice relaxed atmosphere. So I just encourage you, just go and get food whenever you want. I'm not going to be put out by you standing up and moving around and that kind of thing, okay? We're looking at this theme, the power of hope. And as we were sort of praying as a prayer ministry team, Ron, there we go. This phrase sort of came up. The one with the most hope has the most influence, you know. And it seems a little bit counterintuitive because when you think about hope, it sounds like fluffy and nice and, you know, and influence, you know, from a worldly perspective, feels a bit like, you know, going for power, going for control and that kind of thing, reaching out for those kind of things. So, you know, I guess there's a bit of a counterintuitive thing to that, but we're going to come back to that in a bit. But for me, when I think about hope, I think about the Welsh men's rugby team. And, you know, many Christians that I know in Wales pray for the Welsh rugby team on a regular basis. And I've got to say, it appears to be paying off. Because if we look at the world rankings, now I haven't got them up there, but if we look at the world rankings, they are currently number 2. And where are England? Number 4. That's all I can say.
Hang on. So if you look at the women's rugby team, actually England are 2nd. And Wales are 8th. So I think if you take like the midpoint between them, then that puts England in 3rd and Wales in 4.5.
Always outdone by Gemma, every time. But, you know, hope is an interesting subject. And when I've been kind of working as an engineer over many years, I found that sometimes in the workplace, we seem to have taken it to an almost kind of extreme level. You know, I work as an engineer, and we are quite sort of pessimistic as people, I'd say, generally, as a stereotype. We kind of look at things, and we look at something that we're doing, and we're trying to find out what's wrong with it. Because we're trying to stop that wrong thing from happening when it gets produced or whatever, yeah? So naturally, we're pessimistic. But I remember a while ago, one company I was working for, we were building a spacecraft, and we were engineering this thing, and I was there late into the night, and a bit of it had blown up, basically. It wasn't good. It was a bad situation. But we had hired a management consultant, and in the morning, I went along to a daily meeting, and I said, John, I'm really sorry, we've got a problem. And he said, Paul, I'll stop you right there. We do not have problems. We only have opportunities. And I said, well, John, here is the opportunity. And I remember seeing the kind of, his face go very pale as I explained the scale and gravity of the opportunity that lay before him. The other thing that I think about when I think about hope, it's a tenuous link, but I think you'll forgive me, I've been doing youth work for a number of years, and there's certain games that we play, get to know you games and that kind of thing. And there's one that I've played, I really love it, and I'd love if we could have a go right now. So for this, I need a volunteer. John, come on down, John. Well done. Here he is. Now, John, here he is. Now, I'm going to be asking for a few more volunteers, but John, what I want you to do, okay, this game is called the R game, all right? It's got nothing to do with pirates, but it is called the R game. And the idea is that you move as far as you possibly can whilst expelling the phrase R like that, okay? And you go as long as you can without taking a breath, all right? But, you know, please don't keel over or anything. Okay, so John, if you could, and what we're going to do, because we need to identify where it is that John, the position that John has got to, okay? And John, you're going to go down here to the back of the room, across to the back there, and then so down this little sort of little corridor here. So if we can make a little bit of room here, is that all right? Yeah? And we're going to go around like that. So John, you're going to go as far as you can saying the word ah. And we're going to do what's called the silent cheer, okay? Because we're going to be cheering him on, but we can't make any noise because we need to figure out when it was that John stopped, all right? So we can just give the silent cheer like that, okay, all right? So John, off you go. He's done well, he's done well. Well done, John, well done. Now, does anybody think they can do better than John? Is there anybody out there? Anybody got a dad? Yes. Yes, Sam. Come on down. Come on down, Sam. Let's just see how well Sam does. Round of applause for Sam, everybody. Well then, Sam. So limbering up. So John, we'll remember where you are there, John. So if you sort of move away a little bit, otherwise we might have collisions and stuff, if that's all right. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, silent cheers, everybody. Off you go. He's back there. Now, Rafi, do you think you can beat your dad? Yes, well done, Rafi. Go on out here. Okay, here we go then. So, you remember what we've got to do? Yeah? This is Rafi, everybody. Cheer for Rafi. Here we go. Right. So, Rafi, you've got to run. Well, run. Okay. And see if you can get past John and your dad. All right. So, you know what to do, yeah? All right. Here he goes. Hey! Well done, Rafi, well done. So, whilst Gemma's about to start sort of talking about things a little bit more seriously, but whilst that's... Gem, go on. Go on, Gem, go on. One go, go on. Just for the girls, that's it. One for the girls, go on. Hey! Hey! It's a great game, and all about hope, I think you'll identify with, of course. I better do some of this as well. So, any young people want to have a little go of this? It's quite straightforward. It's all about hope. In here are some lollies, okay? And some of them have got a spot on the top. And if you get a one with the spot on the top, you get two, okay? So you got to hope to get a lolly with a spot on the top. Can you have a go, yeah? Who's going to have a go? Come on then, Lily Rose, yeah? And Rafi, there we are.
There's also spots on some of the sticks as well.
Oh, spots on the sticks. It's a spot on a stick or...
Like or on the top.
Is it a coloured one?
It's a coloured pen.
Yeah, here we go, coloured pen, all right. All right, got to be... Yeah, here we go, Rafi, go on. Yeah. No, you're not allowed to look. No. Here we go. Here we go, ready? What have you got? There we go. What have you got? Has anybody got one with a spot on? Let's have a look.
I do.
You do? Where? Where's that then? Oh, yeah, there it is. Is that it? Is there one on there?
How many are there?
I don't know. There we go. Do you want to have a go? Have a go?
It's on the bottom there. It's here.
Oh, right. It's on the bottom there. Ah, okay. Okay, so I think we've been quite unfortunate there, actually. But there we go.
Is there only one?
Yeah, so...
Only one?
No, there's not one. No. There we go, guys. That's that's enough. There we are. Right, there we go. There we are. I have one as well. Yay. Excellent. So no one got a spot. Is that right?
Never.
Only one go. There we go. Excellent. There we go. Oh, you got a spot there. Hey, you got one. So you get two. Woo!
Let me see the spot.
There we go. All right, RFE. One more. Go on then. All right. There we go. So. Oh, excellent. Yeah. So whilst Gemma is doing something slightly more serious, I will be over here teaching these kids, which I learned myself today, how to do a little paper boat. Because I'm a hopeful engineer, I've called it Titanic, but we'll see how they get on over there. Okay, so, Gem.
Okay. So, I did a little Google search, as you do nowadays when you want to find out what something means or represents, and these are just a few of the images that came up for hope. So, symbolic things. So, that picture at the top left is actually Auschwitz. So there's a rose kind of lying in front of it. You've obviously got the green coming up through the cracked earth, the cross. There's then what's a very small but white hope in the middle of a black kind of background. And then hold on, pain ends, which is a doesn't always feel true, does it? If we go on to the next slide, that'd be great. So then I thought, okay, I'm going to ask a few people what they think hope means. So the first person I asked, or the first people I asked, were my boys. So Ollie and Sam, being in that teenager non-communicative stage, didn't really say very much. Toby said, if there's hope, there's always a chance. And that made me think of Easter Sunday and Mark's reference to the football match he was watching and how... Yeah, you know, we hope until the dying seconds of that game that they're going to score and they're going to win. Okay, and I think we all kind of carry a little bit of that hope in us. The second person I asked was a guy, not personally, didn't ask him, a guy called Nir Halevi, I don't know how you say it, but he's a professor of organisational behaviour at Stanford Graduate School of Business, and he says that hope is a future-oriented, positive emotion that often emerges in challenging and difficult circumstances. And he's making reference to some work he's done around how people operate in organisations and corporations and how our kind of defensive aggressiveness that we can sometimes kind of behave with each other, and particularly within those environments, is actually related more to a lack of hope than it is to fear. And that lack of hope is hugely important in organisations' success or unsuccess. The third website that I looked at was Wikipedia, which is not always accurate, but in this state they said, hope is an optimistic state of mind that's based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. As a verb, its definitions include expect with confidence and to cherish a desire with anticipation. And there's some work that's been done around something called hope theory, which is basically kind of saying that people who are able to set themselves goals, so to see kind of where they want to go and what they want to be, then imagine ways of actually reaching those goals, and then persevere to get through to them, even when obstacles get in the way, then those are hopeful people. And another kind of way of looking at that is that hope is as a meta-narrative, so actually thinking about hope as a story that serves as a promise or reason for expecting a better future. And personally, I really like that definition or that kind of interpretation. So the question for you, first of all, this morning is... If we can hit the, what does hope mean to you? Okay, so if you can just on your tables discuss that for 5 or 10 minutes. What does hope mean to you? And think about examples in your life where you have experienced hope either in yourself or in someone else. Okay. Okay, if you can bring those discussions to a close. What do people think hope means to them? Anybody got any feedback?
I think for me with hope, I think it means that, I mean, for me, in my personal experience, when you're going through a really dark storm in your life, is I think Jesus and the cross for me personally, because I think, you know, he's always there, you know, and he's always there wherever you are, and he always shines the light throughout the world, no matter what happens when you go through it.
Thanks, Alex. Anyone else?
Okay. First of all, we recognise that personal personality influences attitude to hope, i.e. whether we're a natural optimist or a pessimist. So that's an influence on our hope attitudes. We agreed that we need to focus on a hope that positive outcomes will occur. And it's true to say that the four of us around the table have experienced or continue to experience family issues that concern us that we wish to be resolved. So some will retain a hope for years, encouraged by a belief that the hope is realistic and achievable, strengthened by a knowledge that God understands our hopes and will ultimately help resolve them.
Thank you, Clive. So that kind of ties in with that idea of actually hope is about seeing where we want to be and what we want to see resolved and being able to see some ways of getting there, whether that's ways that we are in control of or ways that we are just trusting God in. It's actually having that hope that there is a way through to that end point that we want to see, even when stuff gets in the way of that. I'm going to move on to the next slide, and we're going to watch a little video, which is someone called Holly Furtick, who is at Elevation Church in the States, and it's just her talking about what she calls the hope cycle.
Right? I mean, we can operate under very little sleep, and when we're sick, we have to keep going. Not everybody has to do that, but moms, we have to keep going. And you know, for me this week, I went through a lot of things. I was preparing this sermon, and you know, that's sort of a type of suffering for me. And it's something abnormal that I don't normally do. And then on top of that, it just felt like things were not going so well in my family with my kids. I had a meeting at school for one of my children. And then another one of my children just randomly threw up all over the bathroom floor. I was downstairs exercising, and Abby came to me and she said, "Mom, Graham just threw up all over the bathroom floor and it's gross." It's like, awesome. And I get up there and it was gross. Like our air vents are on the floor. Yeah, it was gross. And then another one of my kids, like, it was just, really, God? Can I get a break here? Another one of my kids are having breathing issues. So I'm doing breathing treatments and I'm working on my message. And you know, as moms, we have to push through a lot, but it's not only moms who have to push through. We all have to keep going to work every day when we're sick, when we're struggling, because how many of you know your bills don't just pay themselves? This is perseverance. Life does not just stop because you're going through a difficult season. But the beauty of perseverance is that you get to find out how strong you really are. You tap into that strength that you didn't know you had. And then perseverance leads us to character. So just as you get on the other side of this trial, you start to realize that you're stronger now than you ever were before, because of before that suffering. And you're wiser now, and you're kinder now, and you're more compassionate because God has sustained you through something. He got you through, and now you have more hope.
So hope, her hope cycle. So we have our hope. We then go through times of suffering. And I think the way I've kind of understood that is that hope orients us so that actually when we go through suffering, we are on a gradual incline, if you like, of going up. Because if we don't have hope and we go through suffering, we end up kind of going down into kind of pits of despair and lack of hope. Okay, so for me, hope is orienting me when I go through times of suffering, so that actually I feel like the overall trajectory is up. Perseverance. Somebody put this on the table this morning. So a year ago this weekend, I was walking the Great Glen Way, and I was doing it over 4 days, and I was just reading this. It was a sponsored thing I did for Wham, and one of the quotes that I've put on here from a young person was that having a mentor gave me hope and showed me there were people who could help me and believe in me and were willing to give up their time and effort and go the extra mile. And that quote was really the motivation for doing the challenge that I did. And that was one foot in front of the other for 4 days. It was around about 20 miles a day. And it was really hard work. And there were times when I thought, I don't know if my body is actually going to physically be able to do this. But it did. And somehow you just do that. And that's God, isn't it, in you? That kind of one foot in front of the other, whatever circumstance we're trying to walk through. And, you know, sometimes it is literally all we can do just to stand up in that state. But that's that hope in God, in Jesus, that is enabling us to go through that suffering, to persevere through the things that are difficult for us, and that building our character, which in turn then builds our hope. So that's how we end up on this kind of walking up rather than walking down. So just on your tables, if you can now discuss your next question, which is, does anyone want to feedback on anything in there? Why is hope important, and what you think about that representation? Like I did earlier on, shouldn't I?
There we are. Oh, this is John. This is John.
Okay, right. So here's a little summary. Okay, so what we've thought on our table was, first of all, hope keeps us going, whether it's into a familiar routine or it could be a new project. So both those things are fueled by hope. And then secondly, hopelessness does remove motivation. So it's a major loss. And thirdly, hope enables us to find fulfillment, which it does. We haven't really done part two of the question, I'm afraid. But that's, yeah.
Sorry, John.
Thank you. So that, thinking about that cycle, though, what you're talking about, the hope, actually, through our suffering, our perseverance through that, our character, it builds our hope, which then motivates us the next time we're going through suffering, because we're then kind of, it's almost like a spiral, we're going up. Whereas you take out that hope and we're spiraling down and we don't have that motivation to persevere.
Thanks, Gemma. I think also with hope as well, like if we're going through suffering and persevering, we also become compassionate as well, and empathy. I always keep missing out every time I have conversations with people. But compassion also then preserves your character, and then Jesus shines through you at that point as well as who you are, and your character comes round. I think also that's good.
Thanks, Alex. Yes, so without vision, hope, the people perish. So that compassion through that empathy, because we're experiencing stuff and we are going through things, and that we know, you know, we've come out the other side of things, actually we can be more empathetic towards people who are going through things as well, and more compassionate. So it builds all of that in our character. Okay, if we can move on to the next slide. So going back to a few people that we asked, I haven't got Toby on again, I don't think, but if you can put the first. Okay, so recently, I was chatting to someone and they made a reference to the women at the foot of the cross. And it really took me to a place of thinking, actually, when Jesus died, there were lots of people whose hope was dashed, removed, killed, really. They had lost hope because they couldn't see what we can see with hindsight. We know how that story ended. We know what happened. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. And yet there were people at the foot of the cross who didn't have that vision at that time for that happening, because they didn't expect it to happen the way it did. And that disappointment of something not happening as we think can really kill our hope. We had a family cycle ride a couple of years ago in the Forest of Dean, and we did the sort of trail that goes around. It's about 9-10 miles, I think. Toby was a baby, so he was on a seat on the back of Paul's bike. Ollie and Sam were on their own bike. Sam's bike was like this big, so his wheels were like this big. So he's cycling probably about five times as far as us, really, in equivalent terms. And it was freezing. It was about like 4 degrees or something. It was, yeah, classic kind of Maidle family adventure. And we got partway round, and Paul and I thought, and you know what, we've got to, you know, one of us has got to go and get the car and just call this a day because the boys have had enough. So Paul, because he's the better cyclist, went off with Toby on his back to go and get the car, and they were going to meet us at a particular point on this cycle ride. And unfortunately, geography is not Paul's strong point. Mobile phones don't work in the Forest of Dean, so the Google Maps thing didn't work either. We couldn't call each other because the phones didn't work. And there was one point where I was cycling with Sam and Ollie, and we were coming up to a road crossing. And we'd, you know, Paul had not been where we thought he was going to be. He was where he thought we were going to be, which was a different place. And then he, for some reason, he then got in the car and drove off. And as we came up to this road crossing, we were probably about 50 yards from the road, and we saw Paul and Toby in the car go that way. And poor old Sam, who must have been probably about 4, I think, got off his bike, threw the bike on the floor, threw himself on the floor, and went, "No!" And he was so disappointed. He had just, at that point, lost all hope of ever getting home again, I think. We did make it. We made it to the Pedal Away Bike Centre, and we were there for a while waiting for Paul to just randomly turn up and think that must be the only place they'll be. And some lovely guy was about to put us in the back of his pickup truck thing to go round and drive around trying to find him. But eventually, Paul turned up. But it was just that crushing sense for Sam of, no, it's so close. You know, you ever have that feeling where something is so close and yet it's gone before you've got a chance to grab hold of it? And what really struck me about this kind of image of the people at the cross, the women at the cross particularly, and the disciples hiding away in a room, was that actually they had lost hope. They didn't have that hope. And in the work that I do, I see lots of people who have lost hope. And they don't have that hope and that motivation that John was talking about. They don't have it because of that hopelessness. And yet it is our job to hold that hope for them and to be, you know, as we are now, we can see beyond the cross. We can see what the cross achieved, and we can see that Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus and the power in that and the impact that that has had on our story and everyone's story potentially, you know. But other people don't see that, and we are there to kind of carry that hope for them until they can see that bigger picture. The next one, so this is back to this business guy again, and this I found really interesting because he says, I think there's a lot that partners can do to instill hope in one another about the future. We sometimes forget to do those things, to say we're a team, we're committed, we have a shared vision for the future. Instilling hope can go a long way toward reducing preemptive strikes. So that responsibility of all of us to instill hope in each other as a community. And then the last person in there. So this is a lad that we worked with for a couple of years. And yeah, it was a bumpy road. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. And we had to let him go, not really knowing if his future was going to be different from how it had been predicted to be. And I heard the other day that he's still in a job after about 12 months. And he's basically not been on the police radar, and which, you know, that's impressive for him. And it's just having that belief and that hope that actually transformation is possible, even when we are removed from what we feel is our place of influence again. You know, and we talked a bit, well, there was that thing which Paul's going to come back to about hope, the influence we have when we have hope. And actually, sometimes practically, we can feel like we're not able to do much. But that hope that we have carried, the influence that that has on other people in the long term, and that God works beyond us as well. We are not the be-all and the end-all, and our role in someone's life is not all that he is doing in their life. So I'm going to hand over now to you.
Okay. So, yeah, so... I don't know if you can sort of reflect on what I'm saying here, but I feel like I can have hope in God. That's okay, but when it comes to having hope in other people, that's where I struggle. I don't know if anybody who's been in a long-term relationship will probably sort of recognise what I'm saying, looking for some kind of nods. But certainly I feel it. Put it that way. Sorry, Jim. It can be tricky to have hope in other people, and actually to have hope that God can be helped to change someone else. That's a difficult thing for me to sort of believe in, I suppose. As Christians, kind of we're called to go out into the world and share the hope that we have of God's love for all people, you know. And I just wanted to kind of highlight a few different things and wondered if we might just have a little bit of discussion about these things, because in the Bible at one point, Jesus, I've paraphrased, I don't know, am I allowed to do that? Yeah, okay, that's all right then. So Matthew 10:14, Jesus says that as the disciples go from town to town, he told them, as they went from town to town to tell people about the love of God through Jesus, if the people refused to listen to them, or to welcome them, that they should shake the sand off the bottom of their feet and walk on, you know, which sounds quite harsh, really, you know. But that's what it says in the Bible, you know. We can't shy away from that, you know. But at the same time, it's got to be kind of put in the context of 1 Corinthians 13, which essentially is just talking about people, you know, people. There's a group at a church that have been spoken to, and they're a bit of a show-off group. And so he says kind of, I'll show off as much as you want, but the fundamental thing is there's three things in life: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of those is love. And we all know that. It's at every wedding, right? And then Matthew 18:22, paraphrased, see, how many times should I forgive someone who's hurt me? This is what Peter asks Jesus. Is it seven times? And he says, no, try 77 times. Okay. So the question, can I get the question at the bottom there? So given that kind of context, you know, when is it that we should we shake the dust from our feet? Because that, you know, that's my question to you. A little bit of a tricky one, you know, but I thought an interesting one to sort of put out there. So where Gemma's at, and you know, with Wham, I find it very inspirational, you know, the kind of hope that she has for the young people. You know, I'm obviously very close to Gemma, and I can see how that plays out. And I feel that our church is one where we need to have hope for people who are in our community, whether they're part of our church in all its forms or not. But the question, I guess, because we've had this slogan, you know, belong before you believe. And I guess one of the things that we need to sort of really think about when we're thinking about that is how long can people belong before they need to believe, you know? How long are we patient with that? Or, you know, is there some sort of, you see what I mean? You know, that kind of thing. And just to reflect one more time about what we felt God saying with the prayer ministry team, the one with the most hope has the most influence. And Jem, I think you've got something.
Yeah, there's just a quote from C.S. Lewis which says, hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next.
Yeah, so I just wonder if we just might be able to sort of end with a prayer. Thank you for the hope that you bring. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we go out and we see people in our community and around, that you give us that hope for those people, to be able to see people through your eyes. Amen.